again. Cut out.
Good morning.
Started at the Turraway, Northwest London, Wednesday, 1st December, 27th of Kislev, Rav Shlomi Yitzchok, Bixen Spanner, internalizing the message of Hanukkah. This week's Turraway has been sponsored by Ilyah Nishmas, Morris Brewery, Bas Shlomi Aleh Shalom, wife of Rav Ben Chaim Chaim, Malcolm Willick, former participant, whole family Sheva Nechama.
One of the main reasons why we celebrate the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is because of the Nitzochen HaMulchama. As we know, the Hashmonaim waged war against the Yevonim, as the Rambam explains that in the times of the Baal Sheni, they were Poishet Yodeyem, B'mamoinam, B'gnoiseyem, and they tried to stop the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Even though we were in Yerushalayim, we had a Beis Hamikdash, but they were very much in charge, and they were makriv their karbonis for their Avodah Zarah on the Mizbeah. And basically, the Hashmonaim decided, enough is enough, and they went out and they waged war. Now Rashi, in Parshas V'zois HaBrocha, says, what were the numbers? We say, V'rabim b'yad ma'atim. What were the rabbim? What were the ma'atim? So the rabbim, we don't know. Rashi says revovois. But the ma'atim, Rashi brings down, were 13. There were 13 hashmonoim that went out and waged war against the Yevonim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam helped them that Chanukah Chof Hei, on the 25th of Kislev, that they were finally with Menatzeach, and they came back to the Beis Hamikdash, and they returned. They brought it back to its former glory, and that's when the story, the nest with the Shemen happened. There's a very, very big kasha which the Mefarshim asked on this whole concept. We all know the sad story about the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto. And there was the consensus of the Gedolei Yisrael at that time was not to do what they did, because we would call that a suicide mission. How do people that stand no chance, al pi derech hateva, against such a big army, how do they dare go and try to invoke and try to provocate and so on? So, Lamaisa, the question is, if someone would ask a gadol, we have here a problem that the goyim are, you know, shoilet, they're not letting us do the avodah properly, and they're giving us major tzoras. What should we be doing? I don't think there would be any gadol that would say, go out and wage war. You know, you wait until the wave goes by, you know, you wait until the tide turns, but you don't go out and wage war when, al pi derech hateva, it's impossible for you to win. I mean, it's not even shayet. So the question is, avada, as they say, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But how were they allowed, how were they able to go about and do such a thing, which the Chayre would be neged HaTayra to do such a thing? So let me share with you a story that I heard from a Keli Rishon firsthand. I was zoicha to be a Talmud of Rav Kopman Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, and there was a Yid in Luzern who had a business that didn't go so well. And in the yeshiva, there was a cheder, because there were families that lived there, and there were families in the city of Luzern, and then there were families that lived next to the yeshiva in Kriens, and there was a cheder. Now, we can all imagine that this cheder ran on a deficit, because it's not like you had so many boys. You had a few boys, and you know, you needed malamdim, you needed teachers. So it ran on a deficit. So there was a yid, that this yid that had this business that, you know, wasn't so matzliach, he came to the Rosh Hashiva, and he asked the Rosh Hashiva a question as follows. Chazal tell us, in the Sechtes Beya, in other places, is one of the things. So he wanted to know, can I rely on this chazal, and I will give whatever the cheder needs in order to be able to run efficiently, and I'll rely that whatever money I spend on hutzah esbon of the Talmud Torah will come back. That was his question that he asked the Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva told him, no, you can't. Why? Because even though Chazal tell us that, you know, kol mezeh noisav shel adam ketzuv in chutz, but you have to be on a certain madrega in order to be zoiche to that type of hanhoga. And in our generation, we are not on the madrega of being able to spend more money than we have because we have the amun in Chazal. In other words, we still believe in Chazal, but that is not enough. We need to be on a certain level in order to be able to have that. That's what the Rosh Hashiva told him. Now this yid did not listen to the Rosh Hashiva, and he said that he ended up getting back every penny from the money that he spent. So what do we see from this story? We see from this story that in order to be able to be zoicha to certain things, you have to be on a high level of emunah. Now when it comes to emunah, there are many different levels. I'll give you an example. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Brachos, which is not in our Gemara. It's in the Ein Yaakov, it is, but in our Gemara it's only on the side that there's a Haggah in Brachos Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara brings a memory of Rava. There's a pasuk that says, "Bechol derochecha da'ehu," that you have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all your ways. Says Rava, what's Bechol derochecha? Afila ganav abei machtarta. Which means that a ganav, that his parnosa nebuch is, that he breaks into people's homes and he finds what he finds, and that's what he lives off from. So before he goes to break in, he gives a tefillah. He davens to the Ribbono Shloim, Ribbono Shloim, help me, I should be matzliach in the Geneva. That's what it means, b'chol derochecha da'ehu. Shtelzach hashalom. There is a Rabbeinu Yoina in the beginning of Masechtas Brachos, where the Gemara says that kavasoimach geula letefillah. So the Rabbein Yoina explains what's the shaitas. In one shot, that when a person davens, he shows that he's a man in Bashem. Because if he wouldn't believe, why is he davening? What do you mean by davening? You shtelt the chavek and you ask, you daven. So obviously you believe in the Rabbein Shloim. That's what the Rabbein Yoina says. So now the question is, if a person that davens means that he is Mamun Bashem, how could such a person go about and steal for a living? There's the famous mashal of the Chovis Halvavos that says that when a person steals for a living, he's like someone that's in the desert and his water ran out and he's lost, he doesn't know his way out, and it's a matter of time that he's going to expire, and lo and behold, he chances upon a puddle of dirty water. So what does he do? He has no choice, and he starts drinking, and he knows, he doesn't know how long it's going to take, so he drinks his fill until he can drink no more, and then he walks 50 meters and he finds a pool of fresh water, a mayon, a be'er mayim chayim. Now he can't drink anymore. Says the Chovis Halvavos, if a person made any money, it's because the Ribbono Shloim destined that he should make money. But the Ribbono Shloim wants us to make money in a hetedig way. So this money that he made, ba'oifen ha'iser, is something that was coming to him, but it would have been coming to him in a oifen ha'heter. And this guy, because he was foolish and didn't have patience to wait, he filled himself up with dirty water. So kum tois be'etzem, that if a person steals, his pshat is, he's not a mammon. If he davens, he is a mammon. So how do the two things go together? How can a person daven that he should be matzliach on the Geneva if stealing is a lack of amunah, and davening is a show of emunah? The answer is, there are different levels of emunah. In other words, for a person to daven, you don't have to be on the highest level of emunah. Especially if this is how a person grows up. So, you know, we grow up, you go to shul, you daven, sometimes you have kavanah, sometimes you don't. How many times does a person think that I'm davening, I'm standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam? There is the famous shita of Reb Chaim Brisker that says that even though we find in the Shulchan Aruch that when a person davens, the kavanah, perish hamilos, is ma'akev only on the first bracha, says Reb Chaim that there is a certain kavanah of da, lifnei mi'ata oimed, that you have to have throughout the whole tefillah, because otherwise you're lacking in the whole metzias. But people don't always associate the inyan of davening with Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, we do things by rote. So the level of emunah that a person has when he davens doesn't have to be the greatest. But in order for a person to be able to say, I will not steal because I believe that whatever is destined for me will come b'derech ha'heter, that's already a higher level. And not everyone is on that madrega. We see this concept in other places as well. We find by Shemitah, which now this is the year of Shemitah, that the Mefarshim say that the main reason of Shemitah is in order to teach us the Inyan of Emunah, that the whole year we allow our lands to lay fallow, and that will be mechazik us in the Inyan of Emunah. Now the big question is, there is a Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph that says, why is Zeroim called Emunah? The Gemara says, the Pasuk, V'hoi Emunah Itecha Choysin Yishias Chochma V'doas, Emunah Zeroim. Why is Emunah Zeroim? So Tosfos says, B'shem Di Yerushalmi, Shemamin B'chei Ha'oilomim V'zoreya. That every time a farmer goes and he puts seed into the ground, and he's making an investment, because this seed is going to rot, right? So that takes an inyan of Emunah. That is why Zeroim is called Emunah. So the Shaila is, if 6 years that he's planting, he's mechazik himself in Emunah, why is it necessary that on Shemitah he should allow the land to lay fallow a whole year? Hasn't he been working on Emunah for the last 6 years? The answer is very simple, because the Emunah that it takes for someone to plant seeds is not such a great level of Emunah. Why? Because for thousands of years, you know, people have been doing it, and it always works. Machtze chamol, a bad year. But be'etzem, what level of emunah does it take for someone to plant seeds? Not major. But now, after a person was able for 6 years to work on his emunah, now the Ribbono Shel Olam says, now you'll up your act a bit. And how? By allowing the land to lay fallow a whole year. With that we can understand, the Torah says, v'chisoymru. Right, the major question, what's going to happen in the Shemitah year? So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "V'tzivisi as v'rechasi." Frek de vel takasha. Who are we talking to? Are we talking to someone that's a mamen? So he's not going to ask the chisoymu. Besides, if the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us to do something, it's because it's sustainable. Elamai, we're talking to someone that's not mamen. So if he's not mamen, you can tell him, "V'tzivisi as v'rechasi," from today to tomorrow. He doesn't believe. The Teretz says, no. We're talking to maminim on the lower level. So those people believe Taka, but they have a question, because all they know is the 6 years. But the Emunah of the seventh year, that's already a higher level. So the Torah says, you know what? The Tzivisi has Brechasi. So now they have the Chizuk, that just like the last 6 years, which they were on the lower level, that they saw Emunah Bashem, now they can go up a bit and they'll see Emunah Bashem right. So we see from here that the Inyan of Emunah is something that has levels. Now, as we said, according to the level of a person, how strong a person believes, that is how much ness a person can be zoche to. And many times, if we think about it, even though we're mamen, but we're still boiteach in other things as well. There's a story that they say about the Mashgiach of Ponovich, Reb Chatz Levenstein, once went over to Moshe Reichman. Moshe Reichman learned in Ponovich. His father, Shmaya, sent him to yeshiva. And they say a story that the Mashgiach once came over and tapped him on his back. And he says, Moshe, di hos bitochen? Zokta, ja, vada. And he says, di gleibst as everything that a person has, alt kimt von der Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, ja, vada. So the Mashgiach told him, let me tell you, your beteach in your father's pocket. In other words, at the end of the day, as much as you can say that you have emunah, but you know that you know there's always something to fall back on. So the message was that it's very easy for a person that Baruch Hashem is surrounded with all kinds of brachos for him to say I have emunah b'Hashem. But when a person is tested, that is when you really see how strong the inyan of emunah is, and it all depends on us. And just to put things into perspective, there's a very interesting nakuda that we find. The Chazal tell us that the mothers, Moisei and Shel Kehan and Gedoylen, would bring food to the people that were in the Arei Miklot. Why? Because they would be davening that the Kehan and Gedoylen should die, because that was the end of their sentence. So the mothers would bring packages for these people that were in Arei Miklot. Fregen the Baal HaMusar, I don't understand. If this guy would get out of there, he would have everything, right? He wouldn't need those packages that the mother of the Kohen Gadol brought. What can a package of a mother of a Kohen Gadol, so she brings him some sponge cake and some tangerines, what is it that these packages do that it mitigates the tefillos of these people? They should say, Moichel Toivus, I don't need your packages, and they should daven that the Kohen Gadol should go. This way they can get out of it. So the Baal HaMusar says something gewaldig. That avada, the packages is just a small little token. It's nothing much, but it makes it enough that the tefillah shouldn't be 100%, because they know that every Monday they get this package from the mothers of the Kahana Gedolim. So even though it could be 99.9, but there's something there that stops the tefillah from being 100% pure, and that's good enough that the tefillah shouldn't be niskabel right away. So we see from here that it all depends on us, that if a person has bitachon b'Hashem, but he has his ideas, and he has his things, and his input as well, that's where we lack in the inyan of emunah and bitachon. And the emes is, we shouldn't confuse it with the concept of hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is something which we find in older Rishonim, and the Chazon Ish is very strong on that, that without hishtadlus, emunah and bitachon doesn't work. However, there's a very nice pshat that they say about the inyan with Yosef HaTzadik, which is mamash this week's parasha. Vahimi Kates, the Medrash says, why did Yosef sit another shnasayim yomim, another 2 years? So ha'hoi d'chsev, ashrei agev rasham Hashem miftachoi, v'loifon el rehoven. Ashrei agev rasham Hashem miftachoi, zeh Yosef. He was beteach b'Hashem. But because he said, him zechartani v'zechartani, he had to sit another 2 years. So all the mefarshim asked, you're calling him a boiteach b'Hashem, asher agever, asher som Hashem iftachoi, and in the same sentence, you're criticizing him that he says, kim zechartani, what's going on here? So the Mefarshim say that avad and avada, what Yosef did was ishtadlus, right? A person sitting 10 years in jail, and it's not like today that you have rights, you have the Red Cross that can come, nothing. You're sitting in a pit, literally in a pit, totally, disconnected from the world, no one even knows that you're there. So all of a sudden, these people come in, and he interprets their dream, and he makes a connection. It's a very normal thing for him to ask them, can you help me? But the two words that Yosef said, which made the whole difference, is the ki'im. What does ki'im mean? Ki'im means that this is my only way out. No, you have to do your ishtadlus. But the Rebbe Shlom can have other ways as well. Kumtois azoi, that be'etzem, when a person is b'teach b'Hashem and he does ishtadlus, fine. But if the ishtadlus is in such a way that he thinks this is the only way, so all of a sudden there's a lack in bitachon, because bitachon means that revolution can do it 100%. Yes, I have to do my ishtadlus. Not always is the ishtadlus necessarily connected to the outcome. You have to do your ishtadlus. But to think that the key in, that is where we are lacking. There's a story that they say over about a certain almana that had a one only child. And they say the story that he was caught there by the Kantonisten, that they caught him, they took him, they wanted to put him away for 25 years as he went there in Russia. So she came to her Rebbe, and she started crying, my only child, her husband is gone, and now her only child is gone. And she was crying, and the Rebbe said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And she got so frustrated that she started shouting at the Rebbe, you know, you're worth nothing. You know, only the Rebbeinu Shlomo can help me. So the Rebbe said, now you're going to have your Yeshua. Because when you walked into my room, you know, everyone believes and everyone davens and everyone talks to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you were thinking, you know, this Rebbe is a poel Yeshua's and he's shown so many miracles. So I'm also going to be Zoicha. But this was something that needed real amunah. So the moment that you realize that when I told you that, you know, I can't do anything for you, and that's when it clicked, that only the Rebbeinu Shlomo can help, that is when you were able to play the Yeshua. And that's something that we sometimes need to internalize. There is a very interesting Rashi. On Tehillim, on Halal, we say, David HaMelech says, Ani amarti b'chavzi, kol ha'odom koizev, ma'oshiv l'Hashem. So what is kol ha'odom koizev? Ani amarti b'chavzi, when I was running, I said, kol ha'odom koizev, every human being is sheker, ma'oshiv l'Hashem. So Rashi brings one pshat, that this refers to the time when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, before he became king. Shaul was still the king, and Shaul was persecuting him and chasing him. And the Pasuk says, Vahi David nechpas lo tzetz, and he had to run. Why? Because Shaul was catching him. And the story goes that he went onto a mountain. And Shaul realized that David is on the mountain. Now when a person is on the mountain, and you surround the whole mountain, you're finished. Because, right, the mountain is surrounded, there's no way down. And Shaul was, you know, was sure that now he got him. And David realized that he's finished because the mountain is surrounded with Shaul's people. So he says, Ani amarti b'chavzi kol ha'odom koizev. What's kol ha'odom koizev? Rashi says, even Shmuel Hanavi, who came to tell me that Hashem shachach al ha'melech, right? The Navi came to tell him that he's going to be the king. He's dying. How could he be the king? So at that point, when he was Ani amarti b'chavzi, kol ha'odom koizev. What ended up happening? So Chazal tell us, Rashi brings, that the mountain split. And all of a sudden, there was another exit that didn't exist before. And that part was not surrounded. And that's how David made it out. But what could we see from here? We see from here that at what point did the Yeshua come? When Ani amarti v'chavzi, kol ha'odom koizev. Which means that a person like David HaMelech, when he knows that the Ribbono Shel Olam sent the Navi Hashem to tell him that he's going to be the next king, so no matter what happens, he's boteach b'Hashem. But in the back of his mind, he knows that he was told by the Navi that he's going to be the king, so obviously he's going to live. But as soon as it's Ani amarti v'chavzi, kol ha'odom koizei, which means that it can be true, because how is it possible that I'm surrounded in the mountain and I'm about to die? That is when the Yeshua happened, Shaloi Kederev HaTeva, and that's why Ma'oshiv L'Hashem Kol Tagmeloi Ya'aloi. So we see again, we see from here that a person needs to have proper bitochim, the real bitochim Hashem, without any other cheshboinus. And sometimes it's very hard, because it's subconscious. In other words, it's not shad that a person wants to rely on other things, but it's always like that. When a person is in a situation, you know, many people start thinking, you know, plan B, plan C, and all these things go against the real bitachon, because you're not relying on the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're relying on the different plans and the different ideas and the different things that you have. And this is exactly what the Chashmonaim had. Because in order to be able to go to war, 13 people against tens of thousands, the only way you can do it is if you have proper emunah and bitachon, because anything else doesn't make sense. There couldn't have been any plans, not even a plan A, because it so doesn't make sense. And that is why they were zoicha to that union of the Yeshua. Now, there's something fascinating that we find in the Chovos Halvavos. It's based on Midrashim. The union of emunah, right? Every person knows we have to work on our emunah. The Gemara says, Bo chavaku. So emunah is something that we all have to work on. The Chovos Halvavos says that the inyan of working on emunah is not something voluntary, which means you want to work on Amunah, fine, because someone that's a real Ma'amin is always with Simcha, doesn't have a bad day in his life, because your Ma'amin Bashem, everything that happens comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. The Chovos Halevava says the Inyan of Amunah is something that every single person has to work on himself, whether he wants it or not. And if a person doesn't do it on his own, the Ribono Shel Olam will find ways of how a person will work on their Amunah. And the Emes is, any person that has gone through anything in life will tell you that was the catalyst, that was the springboard for their developing a relationship to the Ribono Shel Olam. That was what helped them become closer, and the Inyan of Amunah, that's when they develop. Every person goes through things in life. No one has it, you know, easy, smooth sailing. It's all because, says the Chovos Halevava, the reason is in order to help a person work on his Amunah. Now, Rabbi said, why should we wait until, you know, things happen where we have to tap into our Amunah in order to be able to cope and deal with those situations, and which means we're going to be reactive? Why shouldn't we be proactive and find ways how to work on our Amunah before bad things happen? There's a beautiful mashal that they say about a certain individual who was about to have the business meeting of his lifetime, the opportunity that mamash, and he had a meeting in a very big skyscraper in Manhattan, and he had a few minutes before the meeting, so he came with his briefcase, he had money in his briefcase, $100 bills he had, all prepared, and he goes up to the roof, he wanted to see, get some fresh air, and you know, relax a bit before the meeting, so he goes up to the 60th, 70th floor, where, you know, officially you can go out on the roof, and somehow he finds himself on the roof, but he's locked out, which means he can't go back into the building. So here he is, stuck up there, he starts screaming and shouting, no one is listening to him, he doesn't have his phone, and he doesn't know what to do. So he decides, he thinks of a genius idea. He says, I'll start taking $100 bills, I'll throw it down from the 70th floor, and people will come and find me and get me out of here. So he takes a $100 bill, he throws it down, it flutters down, and he watches how a person grabs it and runs. Okay, didn't work. So he takes another one. Same story, the guy looks up, maybe there's more coming, but more or less, it continues running. And he does another one, and he sees that he's going to stand here all day, you know, throwing down all of his bills, but no one is going to come and fetch him. Then he thinks of something ingenious, even better. He says, he found there were some pebbles on the roof, and he starts throwing the pebbles. Now, when you throw a pebble from the 70th floor, you know, it makes a big bang, and people start looking up. And then another one, and another one. By the third one, he sees the police coming, because there's someone, you know, throwing down rocks from the roof, and they come up, they run up to the 70th floor, and he tells them, you know, I'm stuck here, and he goes to his business meeting. What's the nimshal? The Ribono Shel Olam wants to make a kesher with us. So what does he do? He starts throwing $100 bills. He gives us all kinds of goodies. He gives us, you know, parnasa. He gives us a home. He gives us a car. He gives us whatever we need. But we just grab it and we run. So the only way that he can make the kesher is he starts throwing pebbles. Because at that point, we start running and we start looking. But this is exactly the point. Why should we wait for the pebbles to come showering down when we have an option? The first thing that Ribono Shel Olam tries is with $100 bills. And this is the whole Nakuda. The Yom Tov of Chanukah, what is it teaching us? It comes to teach us that when a person has real Amunah, which means undiluted, pure Amunah, you can accomplish major things. As we see, what the Chashmonaim did was commendable. Why? Because they were on the Madrega of proper Amunah, which allowed them to do what they did, because for them, this wasn't a suicide mission. Because when a person does Amunah, and especially he's doing it for the right reasons, they wanted to restore the former glory of the Beis HaMikdash, Avada and Avada, they were allowed to do so because they had the Siyata Dishmaya. We are not in the Madrega, and therefore, we have different dinim and different halachas. But what we need to work on, especially now that we have this koyach and this message, We have to work on our emunah that it should be pure. And then, as we heard before from the Rosh Hashiva, that even simple things, like something that Chazal say, if you are on the Madrega, we see a Yid in Lucerne was zoicha to see takta what Chazal said. It didn't make sense that he should see that money. But because he believed and he was, in other words, the Rashiva underestimated him. And he looked at him like most people. But this guy was, I knew him. And he was someone that had real bitachon, and because of that, he was zoicha to see that inyan. But if a person will really work on his emunah, will be able to see gevaldige yeshuas. And this is why we say, she'osa nisim la voisenu bayom imahim bazman hazeh. Because even bazman hazeh, we can be zoicha. It's all up to us. So let us take this message of that if a person has real amunah, then we can be zoicha to major yeshuas and to see, you know, major revelations, and take it with us for the rest of the year. And Be'ezes Hashem will internalize the message of Chanukah and will be zoicha to all the brachas of the Torah.
Yeah.